Away we go. Welcome to the WWGH 6th anniversary special. How about that? June 10th, 2014, WWGH Radio went on the air for the first time, and here we are 6 years to the day later, still on the air, still providing the Marion area with talk and all kinds of other things, and we have got a great special tonight. 2 hours of fun and enjoyment with the entire group, the entire conglomerate here, group of show hosts that make up WWGH Radio. They will be in through... Are you trying to hog the mic already, Jeff? I'm not even through my intro.
Including some who aren't associated with the radio station.
That's right. Friends of the radio station is what we call it. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and Jeff Ruth in here in the beginning. But we're going to hear from everybody tonight, and we also have tributes planned tonight for Marge Hazelett and Charlie Evers, two of our longtime friends here at the station. So stay tuned for that. Memories, fun, all kinds of great things. And again, this event, this broadcast, is supported by Domino's Pizza, 740-383-3030. How about that? I know Adam Lepp is here. Nate Redman's here. Who else did I see? Mike Wilson is here. Glenn Coble will be here soon. I believe Terry Tackett and Sean Kraft will be on their way. So it's going to be a night of fun here at this station, and a lot of food. There's a lot of good-looking food out there, Mary Ellen, already.
Right.
So we're off to a rip-roaring start. I can feel that already. I feel it in my bones.
You feel that enthusiasm.
The tension is so thick in here, you could cut it with a knife right now.
It's like the home team batting in the bottom of the first, and they're already down 8-0.
That's right. We're going to have to peel our way out of this at some time or another. You know, I have to wait for Sean to get here, because I believe... Linda. We haven't seen Linda Sims yet. Hopefully she'll arrive very soon. Linda is the only person... who has had a show on this station since the very beginning, other than myself. So Linda, we hope, shows up very soon. I have not seen her yet. Is Mike out there? Send Mike in. All right. See, that's how we'll run this thing. We'll just direct from the microphone. All right. Mike Wilson coming in, host of the Mike Wilson Show every Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. Mike, how are you? Now, this is your second anniversary program, right?
Yes,
you were at the last year.
I started in January of 2019. Yes, it's my second one, yes.
So tell people how your show came about and what your show is about.
Well, it's a pretty much a public affairs show. I have a guest in. We ask them questions and they answer them. Just that simple.
What a synopsis that is. Holy moly.
You want to go back and just start over?
Yeah. Can we restart this thing? Holy. Mike, tell us about your show. Let's try that again. Let's try to get 20 words in this. Well, let's see what we can do.
We've had some interesting guests. We've had Warren Harding has been on in the past.
That was a good show.
That was one of your favorites,
that
I think.
That absolutely was.
I've never had Mary Ellen Withrow on, but, you know, sometime in the future she might come on.
If you invite me.
Oh, Mike. See,
you have been publicly invited.
Okay.
Now, Mike, you came, one of our big trips here at the station was 2019 in February. We went to Tony Paco's.
Paco's.
Is it Paco's?
It's Paco's. Remember, like, pack your luggage.
See, I was off doing other things. I think I was eating a hot dog.
I interviewed the guy, so.
You interviewed the guy. You did. Mike was on that escapade. Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett was there, and Mary Ellen. Now, we were at Tony Paco's. Paco's. We were at Tony Paco's, a Toledo tradition, because Mary Ellen was signing a bun, which is a famous thing to do at Tony Paco's, because you put those buns up on the air, or on the wall. You put those buns up on the wall at Tony Paco's, and they stay there forever.
We wonder if it's still there.
We do wonder.
Yes.
I don't know if they rotate those or not. Do we, Mary Ellen?
Well, it makes you wonder because I signed one when I was state treasurer. It's not there.
Oh.
Oh, they took it down?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, I couldn't find it. I mean, if it was there, I never found it.
Well, if I'd have heard about that, I would have made a stink that day.
Well, yeah, okay.
So Mary Ellen lost her buns.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen lost her buns on that particular day so many days ago.
We got a call.
Okay, we do have a call. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Scott, do me a favor. This is Sean. Sorry,
yes.
Hi, everybody. Hey, can you send somebody down there? Their systems were down, and I had to come down here to check it out. Can you send somebody down there because they're getting ready to deliver the pizza?
I shall do that.
Thank you.
All right. Adam, would you like to run down to the front of the building real quick? Thank you. The pizza should be here. Thank you, Adam.
Pizza donated by
Domino's Pizza.
Domino's Pizza.
We'll let you know later on.
Well, if he knows the pizza's downstairs, where's he?
I don't know. Where were you on that call, Jeff? You should have jumped in there.
I couldn't hear. I didn't have my headphones on.
Oh, okay. At least we're prepared for everything tonight.
This will be the sixth and last anniversary show.
Yeah, we might be crashing it tonight. Well, the interesting thing is we, if for those of you who don't know, and for the preservance, what is the term when you keep something forever?
Preservation,
thank you. For the preservation of... why are you messing with that microphone?
Oh, it's loose. I'm trying to fix it.
Oh, Lord. For the preservation of this, there was just a huge storm that blew through Marion that apparently knocked down the system at Domino's, which has caused the pizza to be a little late. So that's what that phone call was all about. And has caused a couple people to be late, like Sean and Terry, who are arriving soon, and I'm sure Linda. But we'll soldier on through this thing.
Well, coming through town, I did notice there was a rather large tree down in the Harding home front yard. It was close to the porch, but I had traffic. I couldn't stop and see if it damaged the porch. And then at the corner of, what was that street again?
State
and Street. Center Street, a bunch of bricks had fallen off the facade of one of the buildings down there. So we did have some wind damage in town, apparently.
It was a pretty big storm. Do we know what building the bricks fell off of?
I can show you the building, but I don't know what business is in it.
Well, you know, it was a strong storm, but it only lasted like 20 minutes, Jeff. It wasn't very long at all.
And I know before I came down here, all of the Columbus stations, 4, 6, and 10, were preempting the 6:30 national news to stay with the weather system because there were a couple of tornado warnings down east of Columbus or whatever. So they were, of course, doing the overkill on the weather, but interesting that all three of the stations preempted the national news.
Oh, wow.
You know, isn't it interesting? Have we ever had a tornado in Marion in modern times?
There was one that hit the Marion County Fair.
Really?
It was about it was about 1980 or 81, because I had only been here a year or so, and it hit about noon or 12:30 in the afternoon. It actually caused quite a bit of damage to the Marion County Fairgrounds.
Mom Wilson's, they had a tornado at Mom Wilson's. I don't know what year it was, but it was a long time ago.
Somebody told me because we're at such a low level, an altitude, that's why tornadoes don't happen here like they did in Cardington back in 1980.
This Saturday will be the 39th anniversary of that.
I was golfing out at Whetstone 20 years ago probably anyway. It was on a Tuesday night, and you could see, I'm not good at directions, standing on the second hole, looking out across Route 95, you could actually see a tornado kind of moving from west to east. We were okay in the golf course, but we actually saw a tornado.
You know, weather can be very frightening for people. But I do think that we overkill it a lot certainly on television news.
Yeah. I think that was overkill tonight.
I mean, why do we have to preempt the 6:30 news?
You can scroll if you need to. And, you know, 6:15 to 6:30, that's all they were doing was the weather. So I think at 6:30, with all that's going on now, I think you need to go to the national news.
Jeff, can I ask you a question? Yeah. In all your years on WMRN, did you ever cover any weather events that were major storms, tornadoes? You weren't here yet. Well, you were here for the blizzard of 78, I believe.
No, I came here in May of 79.
Okay.
I was here for the blizzard of 78.
So was I.
I mailed out the tax bills that morning.
Oh.
They went everywhere. People found them underneath their porch rugs and everywhere.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we had some snowstorms and some the derecho, I remember that mm-hmm. hit. But, you know, nothing that was really serious.
Now, I remember one time when I was at WMRN and the old WDIF by myself on the weekend, there was a storm warning, but the emergency alert system was down and the internet was down. I had no idea until I think Paul James called in and told me. Mm-hmm. And then the next week in the Marion Star, they were saying how our local station didn't cover the storm that came through. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, that's kind of a nasty thing to do if you're the newspaper.
Yeah, well, I thought
so,
too.
Take a jab like that.
I remember we got criticized, and I guess rightfully so, that Saturday wasn't the Challenger explosion, but what was the... when it was coming back, re-entry, what was the spacecraft?
Discovery?
It was one of those, and I should remember it, but it crashed coming into re-entry. It mm-hmm. had been up in space and was coming back to Earth, and it crashed. And at that time, I was working Saturday mornings from 6 to 10. And this happened at like 10 after 10 in the morning.
I was on the Cleveland radio station when we had an earthquake, and we thought it was a sonic boom at first, and I was sitting on a stool. I about fell off. I mean, it was, I forget how you measure it, but I forget how many it was, but it was noticeable.
Well, I had left the station at like 10:05, and I went home. I took a nap. And again, on the weekends, a lot of times when you're on automation, there's nobody there.
Right, right.
And I guess, you know, for hours, the phone probably, people were calling, why aren't you covering it? And we didn't know about it.
Right.
Or at least I didn't know about it.
See, isn't that ironic, though, that people know about it and they call to ask you why you're not covering it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they already know.
Yeah.
What do they need to know? See, I never understood that. This whole idea about getting news first, that to me is still a mystery. Because the way the world works now, if you are the first to get it, it's going to be known by everybody else within seconds.
In minutes, yes.
You know, 40 years ago, it wasn't that. And I told you the story when I first came here, the very first U.S. Open I covered. And Steve Stewart was the news director. And it was a Saturday night, and I went out to cover it. And, of course, Bob Bender from DIF was there. And I remember Steve saying, basically, if Bob gets on before you, don't bother to come back to work. And I mean,
but Steve didn't like you anyway.
No,
he had messed up his inside show, he was looking for a reason.
He was looking for a way out.
Yeah, he was looking for a way out.
You're right, but yeah, back then, the same thing on election night. I mean, as soon as you got that paper in your hand, you better call. You might not even have looked at the results, but you better call. Say, hey, the results are coming in. Sometimes you do the results while you were actually on the air. Charlie did that.
we were never all that into getting him on the air first. We liked a phone call, and Charlie would tell us he was there at the Board of Elections, and then he would start to go through the papers while we were on the air, and we just played along and went along on election night.
Well, I can remember, Jeff, election nights. Of course, I'm from Morrow County.
There's
and I would go over to the Morrow County Board of Elections and call it in back in those days. But nowadays, where do people get these things? Not necessarily the radio or television.
The internet.
Because it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
Linda, how's the weather out there?
It's calmer.
It's calmer. Did we calm down?
Yes, praise God.
Thank goodness. I was going to say, Linda Sims, who I knew was coming here tonight, is the only person at this point, other than myself, who's had a show continuously running on this station since the first week, Voice of a People, which has been on since day one, 6 years. Now, Linda, sit there for a minute and tell us how Voice of a People all came about. 6 years it's been running on this station.
Hi, everyone. I really started at WDCM. 97.5 with Erling Baskin Hatch, and they had acts for perspective from African Americans, you know, and she said, well, I think we can do this, and I helped her with the call it, the name and everything like that, you know, a voice of a people. So we started there until a great storm, just like we had today, right?
That's right. The great storm knocked you off the air.
Yeah, knocked off the antennas and all that, and they couldn't put it back together. And that was like during when Barack Obama was running for president. And so we went down. So that was like a year and a half there. And then, lo and behold, you called her when you got ready to start up at the mall, and she called me, and I said, yeah, I'll go.
You know, I remember I was there, too, at WDCM doing the morning show when that storm came through, and the phone stopped working during the show I was doing. And I went to the station manager at the time. I won't say who that was, but I went to them, and I said, hey, the phones aren't working. And they said, oh, you know, no problem at all. We were off the air. I don't know who I did a show for that morning. We never came back. That station went away after that.
It sure did.
It blew away with that storm that came through.
Yes, it did.
And that was it was one of those summer storms.
It sure was.
It was a heavy-duty storm back in 2012, I believe.
2012,
Year Obama was running for re-election, I believe it
re-election.
Was.
Re-election, yeah.
That's right. It's been interesting because you've had a lot of great guests on over the six-year period here. Now, who are some of the ones that strike in your mind?
Oh, I had the mayor, of course. Let me think of some. Doris Caserta. I think she did the 100 women. Let me think. Who else?
Erling has guest on your show.
Yes, Erling Baskin Hatch, absolutely. And it was just so many. I'm just thinking, okay. Health Department, Tom Quaid, he was a regular. And not only that, Adam H. Bort. What was her name, Jody?
Judy DeMohagens.
Yes, DeMohagens. She was a regular guest of mine at least two or three times a year because we were going through the drug, you know, overdose, and I enjoyed her. Then whoever took her place, I'm just really...
Somebody the other day, I was thinking on the station being on for 6 years now, when you add that up, you think, okay, well, 5 days a week, and you do 2 hours a day, that's like 5,000 hours.
That's a
lot. Forget things that happen in 5,000 hours.
Right.
Say, well, is that person on? Oh, yeah, I guess they were on.
Yeah, the list is... It's a long list.
Now, lately, though, you've had the end of the world.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Jeff Porter on.
Yes.
Now, that's become a regular thing.
Yes, it has.
Now, do you like going back and forth with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is, it's become an interesting part of the program.
Right. I have to be the opposite of what he is, just for those who are already opposite of where he is, you know, so, because he's a doomsday, and a lot of people don't want to say, well, this happened before, and we're not that close to the end of the world. So then I have to be that opposite person.
Well, it's been a good community show because you have had people like the health department on regularly, and the 100 women, and so many people who were doing events and things in town. And that's
Marian Popcorn Festival.
Popcorn Festival
to come. Yeah, all that.
Well, and we broadcast from the fair.
Yes, we did.
We did that. And I think that talk radio, what does talk radio in general mean to you?
It means taking a moment to listen to someone else's point of view. And then if you don't agree with them, we have the opportunity where they can call in if they want to share, you know, their thoughts or whatever going on with them. They may even agree. I've had some. And voting, I hate to even bring that up, but you know, used to have the voting on, and John, I think his name was John from the board
John
of
Meyer.
Elects, John Myers.
John Meyer.
And
Steve Chapin.
Steve Chapin. My mind is like Steve Chapin. Boy, did they light up that ready that airways at one time.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to go down in blows, but it was one of the best shows I ever had.
They really did not see things
it
eye
clashed,
to eye at all.
Didn't they? Oh,
ooh,
my.
No.
It was like on fire.
Well, yes. And I think of the last 6 years. You know, we've been here during coronavirus. We've
yes.
been here during the election of President Trump, which was one of the craziest elections
oh,
of all
yes,
time.
Yes.
We've been here through the last term of President Obama.
Yes.
We've been here through the renovation of the Harding home and the building
oh, yeah.
of the center down there. We've been here when we all learned that President Harding did have offspring. He had a
True.
Grandson.
True.
You know, that's all happened in the last 6 years, and it's interesting
a
when
lot
you go
has
back
happened,
in.
Huh?
Yeah,
yeah.
Riots
wow.
and things and news. Now, Jeff, you were in talk radio for more or less 40 years. What's talk radio mean to you?
Just, I think, keeping people informed.
Yes.
You know, Linda talked about having guests on. And, of course, we did radio during the 9 o'clock hour, but I was on 6 to 9. And if I didn't have at least two or three guests a morning, I felt like it was a wasted show. And sometimes trying to get, you know, 15 different people a week in the town the size of Marion, that can be a little challenging at times. But I tried to get, you know, some obscure people, businesses people really didn't know a whole lot about. And of course, we had the regulars, but I tried to get, you know, at least three people a day if I could. And sometimes when you had those 10-minute call-ins, to kind of cut into their time a little bit. But just, you know, letting a lot of different people talk about, you know, what you know their jobs mean to them, what they do in the community.
You know, you've been a listener of this station since the beginning. What have
maybe
you,
not the first 6 months because I didn't know you were around.
No, you listened the first 6 months because the first 6 months I remember this. You showed up because we had Mr. Jingling in the studio.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you remember that?
That
was first six
that
months.
Was, okay, and that wasn't an anniversary or a Christmas
that
show.
That was Christmas.
Because that was.
Now tell people who Mr. Jingling is who don't know.
He was a character at a Cleveland TV station. And we lived in Mansfield. And it was Barnaby, and there was Mr. This is back, again, we're talking, you know, I'm mid-60s, and I watched him when I was like 5 or 6 years old, so we're talking 60 years ago, and that's when a lot of, you know, local television stations had people on to entertain, you know, Romper Room or, you know, some of those kind of shows. And he was this kind of an elfish.
He's an elf.
Yeah.
He's an elf.
But he was scary looking.
Well, why did you show up to meet him?
Well, because I used to watch, and I was scared of him. I was like 5 or 6 years old, and he had this stupid song, Mr. Jingling, How You Tingling,
oh,
Keeper
Lord.
Of the Keys. And I can't remember the rest of it.
On Howie's 7th floor. Yeah.
Yep, and it was basically, I mean, he did his show, but it was sponsored by Halley's department
yeah.
store in downtown Cleveland. And of course he'd talk about different toys and so forth, but he was just this creature that he scared me. And
heard him on the airwaves.
Yeah, I thought he probably had been dead for 30 years.
Oh no.
Because I thought he was old, you know, when I was watching him, and I was like 5 or 6 years old, and I was coming back flipping the dial one evening, and I heard you interviewing Mr. Jingling. I said, like, I gotta go meet Mr. Jingling. Yeah,
I'll tell you,
I don't remember what his real name was. There used to be a character again out of one of the Cleveland stations, Captain Penny, whose name was Ron Penn something, but he used to do
know.
A lot with like the Cleveland Zoo, and he would sort of like Jack Hanna, and
time,
he would have different
maybe.
People in from the Cleveland Zoo talking about different animals and so forth. But that's back when local television stations did a lot of those kind of shows.
I just want to go on record. Mr. Jingling was not scary looking. I sat across from him for 2 hours. He sang his song. He did his thing.
He did, yeah.
But Mr. Jingling, when he would look at you, he had an eye that went straight, and then he had an eye that went to the east.
Maybe that was a scary part.
Well, Mr. Jingling, he could stare at you and know what was going on in the entire room at the same time.
Right,
he never had to tilt his head in any direction.
And I doubt if people in Marion knew who he was for the most part, because I don't think people in Marion got the Cleveland television station.
Well, people in Marion were, because he could see them all.
Columbus stations, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was, I forgot that, Mr. Jingling.
Mr. Jingling has been through the doors here at this station. He was an interesting fellow, just in general. He had keys. That was his big, he was the keeper of the keys.
Keeper of the keys.
Keeper of the keys. So that was one of the people. We had the three visits from Mr. McFeely here at this station. We've had Lulu Roman from Hee Haw came in and did a spot with us. So we've had a lot of great people.
Yes.
Thunderbolt Patterson was here.
He was on my show, too.
If I can take just a moment.
Yes.
And
Mary Ellen, absolutely.
She was on my show, and I'm thinking.
For the listeners that don't know, you do your due diligence. You were talking to me many years ago about why I got into broadcasting. And I mentioned I was at Bowling Green, and I was in journalism. And I had a professor named Emil Dansker.
Oh, yes.
And I still remember Emil Dansker on the bottom of one of my papers saying I would seriously consider changing professions.
Emil Dansker said, get out of the business.
So that's how I got into broadcasting. Lo and behold, about 6 months later, you were doing the Exchange Club. And you invited me down to be in the Exchange Club. And you had Emil Dansker, who drove up from Cincinnati, just to be on your show.
Just to see your face when you walked in.
He didn't remember me, of course. I mean, he had probably 100 journalism students a year. This was like 1972. So he didn't remember who I was.
I don't think he knew you, but you knew him.
I knew
him. You walked in that room.
And I hadn't seen him probably in, 1972 or 73, and you had him on, 2009,
2010.
Yeah. So it had been 35 years. Soon as I saw, I knew exactly who it was. But for you to take the time to track him down and have him drive all the way up from Cincinnati to be on your show, that told me an awful lot about your due diligence.
Well, that Exchange Club program, I should say about that program. It's been on 11 years now. It started on WMRN, then it went over to WDCM, and then we were on television for a little bit on WZMO. Then it's come here for the last 6 years. It's been on 11 years, and we have had Mary Ellen. You were on, when you lived in Bethesda, you came back and were on the Exchange Club with us at one point.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, this is very interesting here. Listening to you guys from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. How about that? I did see that. I will take care of that. Okay. But that's good. People listening in Wilkes-Barre, people listening in Phoenix this week, too.
That would be Chad Ritchie.
Chad Ritchie.
Not Gilead.
How nice. Listening in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Jeff, do you tell that story about Emil Dansker?
Uh-huh.
How about that? But it's fascinating because Mary Ellen was living in Bethesda. She came back and was on the Exchange Club. We had Sky Lucy, who did Casper the Camel. Fritz the Night Owl has been on Exchange Club. Dave Kaler. Marianne Michaels and Charlie Evers were the longest two panelists. They were on for 7 and 11 years. And last Friday, we added a new panelist, Abby Croman, who's in the other room. We'll get her in here at some point. But Marge Hazlett was with us on that show for three years.
Yes.
Marge, and we'll pay tribute to Marge here momentarily with people who knew her. I wanted to make sure Sean got here before we did the Marge Hazlett tribute. And we'll have a tribute to Charlie Evers later on in this program. But a lot of people have come through this station.
Yes, they have.
But Marianne, I was going to say, talk radio, what do you think the place is of talk radio in a community?
Oh, I love talk radio. I love to hear people interview It's usually people that's written a book. I've always noticed they, you have to write a book before you get invited. And I listen a lot to late night radio when I can't sleep. And I turn it on and listen to George.
George Norrie.
Norrie, yeah. And I just really enjoy him.
He's an interesting. Now that's the alien. Doesn't he do mostly aliens?
Oh, he does aliens. He does psychics. He does everything that's interesting.
Every alien that has ever landed has either landed in Arkansas
or Phoenix.
Yeah. And you know, they keep a record of all these. I mean, there's a club, or I would call it a club, that keeps track of all of this. It's official.
Yeah. Art Bell used to have his overnight show for a long time, and then his son got kidnapped, and it turned out that it was some kind of a hoax with all of that. It was publicity stunt or whatever. You know, if you listen to, you know, Sean Hannity or Rush or CNN or whatever, you get one side of the story. Marion, Ohio, you can't do that. You got to really keep an open mind, and you know, if you start taking sides, you're going to alienate so many people. You can't do that.
Well, what happened to talk radio where now all talk radio has to be political? That's the way it is all day long. I mean, you have the aliens at night, but other than that, the whole thing is just political all day long.
And it's not. It's the, a lot of the entertainment shows. You know, I remember Johnny Carson. And you know, and Johnny very seldom ever got political. I mean, he came out and he entertained, and I think that's what people liked to see. I know you talked to Dick Cavett Dick got a little political at times, but people tuned in late night television, I think, to be entertained. And now I don't care what, you know, late night show it is. You're going to get a political slant, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I just get to the point, you can't take politics 24/7. You got to just step back and take some time and just have some fun and relax.
Now, I do want to mention this sixth anniversary program is supported by Domino's Pizza. Telephone number 740-383-3030. We are going to hear from everybody else here. Adam Lepp's here. Sean Kraft, I don't know if he's out there yet or not. But
I will go grab a piece of pizza and let somebody else come in.
Yeah, slide somebody else in here. All right, well, we're going to be joined by a couple.
Did they bring Pop tonight?
I don't know if they did or not. Okay. I assume they did. Okay. We'll send some more people. So we're going to have a changing of the guard here momentarily as people come in and switch out here. It's the WWGH Radio 6th Anniversary Special here on the air on this June 10th. Station launched June 10th, 2014, and we will be joined by Mary Ellen and Jeff again in just a few moments. Now, who's coming in? Clean that room out in there. Who's out? Now, don't be mic shy. Let's go, people.
Come on.
We got a show going on in here.
Yes. But, you know, the alien shows are on Friday.
Are they?
Almost 24 hours, yes, sightings and all that. And I'm going to be doing a show on that soon.
Well, that'll be interesting.
Nephilim.
Nate, what is going on in that room out there?
Get these.
Let's. Nate Redmond joins us here on WWGH. How do we sound on the radio?
Hey, you're sounding great. Sound like something that I would want to listen to.
Well, you know, I got a note there from Mike saying it sounded overmodulated, but coming through the radio, it sounds fine.
Coming through the radio sounded pretty
good.
Well,
that's how we sound going over. I think that person's ears.
Yeah, of course you always sound great, Scott.
Oh, do I?
Yes, absolutely.
Nate joined us a little over a year ago, Offbeat News and Trivia, every Wednesday from 4 to 5. It was on today. Nate, tell us about the genesis of that station and your genesis here at this station.
Well, I'll tell you what. I fell in love with the station when it first kicked off at the Southland Mall, and I thought, my goodness, I'd love to be a part of that. I was involved in another station at the time. I thought, my goodness, those guys are having a lot of fun. And at the time, I just couldn't become involved with it. And then as time went along, I filled in for Charlie 1 week, and then kind of got talking back and forth with Scott and thought, you know, I'd kind of like to do this, something like this permanently. And so we started the program, and I thought, what would I like to do? What's something that might be a little interesting? And I thought, well, everybody does politics. Everybody, you know, kind of has that cornered. I thought, what could I do something interesting? So I thought, how about news that you don't usually hear? The offbeat stack. Weird, unusual news. And mix that up a little bit with trivia. So we kind of mix the two together, and that's what we do every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and call it Offbeat News and Trivia, and open the lines to the callers, and I'll tell you, no, you never know who's going to call in.
You never know what's going to happen. Adam, 2016, January, you started your program, and in the beginning it was a Adam the Computer Guy show. Since then it has turned into more of a political show on Monday, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp. Adam, tell us about your genesis with the station.
Well, I've been pretty much in radio off and on since the 1980s when I started at my college station, which was kind of a classic rock called AOR, album-oriented rock format of a station. A lot of Led Zeppelin and Rush and those kind of bands you don't hear on the Top 40. Then I worked in a Top 40 adult contemporary station. Then I was out of radio for a bit. Then I radio bug bit me. You know, it's as you know, Nate, it's very addicting.
It's very addicting.
It puts crack to shame. But you know, it's a good addiction. As there, it is. You know, you're not going to get rich, but it is one of the most fun, rewarding businesses. And it, I think, it helps you with your skills in business, your skills with people. Because with me, I don't care if a million people listen. I'm different, kind of in person. So. Helps with the awkwardness, and you learn something. Every time you go on the air, whether it's playing music or taking a phone call or reading the news, you are learning something. You are a better man or woman than when you stepped into the studio prior to doing that. I usually talk politics. Dr. Ron Feinman has oftentimes my guest. He's been on between me and with Scott over 100 times. Sometimes I talk about computers or current events, or I make wisecracks. You never really know, but that's also part of radio. It's full of surprises. I have evolved into doing many things at the station. I'm one of the partners also. I do the obituaries. I do some highlight shows like the tribute to Charlie. I program in the weather with Zach multiple times during the day. And I've also been known to call Scott in the morning a lot of the time. And whether I tell a joke or ask for his opinion or give a preview of my show, you never really know. But that's kind of how radio is. Listen, because the minute you think that you can predict what you're going to hear, a curveball or a surprise is thrown at you.
Sean Kraft has arrived here, and apparently our supporter, Domino's Pizza, has arrived. I can smell the garlic. What's going on in the other room, Sean? Here I am doing a show in here. We've got three people, and there's some kind of party going on out there. What's going on?
We're thinking ready to eat the pizza. It's finally arrived.
Really? But so we need guests in here. We got a live show going on.
Oh, you want some guests? I can bring some guests for you.
Who's out there right now?
We have Mary Ellen, Abby, Nate.
Nate's here.
Oh, yes, Nate. I'm sorry. The other was
Mike.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Yeah, and no Terry yet, so I don't know what Terry is.
And Glenn will be joining us.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, you were here in the beginning. Tell us how you, the beginnings of WWGH Radio.
Well, you know, 6 years is a lot. From day one, I remember our very first transmitter was, that was the issue. But other than that, you know, we have a lot of great memories. You know, definitely Charlie Evers was with us from day one, Linda Sims, and a lot of great memories. We can't ever forget what happened. So I can talk later more about that. But very interesting, 6 years later.
Well, tell people to bring their chairs in here, and that way we can do a show.
All right, I'll work on that for you.
Yeah, push them in this direction. Because, you know, Nate, one of the things about this station is that we have had two major parts of this station, Charlie Evers and Marge Hazlett, who what is going on in that room out there?
They're eating dinner.
I'm going to have to roll heads or something out there in a second. Yeah, come on in, enjoy yourself. Jeff, sit down over there. Mike, you didn't have any pizza?
We have a picture of you out there, Scott. We're throwing darts.
Oh, is it the pointy ones?
Yes.
I hope it's
yes.
The really pointy ones. Again, this is the WWGH Radio 6th Anniversary Special, supported by Domino's Pizza. 740-383-3030. We've got tributes coming up, all kinds of memories. Mike's going to sing. Did you know Mike was going to sing tonight?
Oh, Mike's going to sing.
Mike's going to sing. We have a big tribute planned.
Is it Happy Anniversary, or is it another song?
Is there a song called Happy Anniversary?
Yeah.
You would know, Abby. You've been married, 17, 18
it's
times?
It's the same as Happy Birthday. You just replace the words.
Is that what you do? Happy
right.
Anniversary to you. Why not? Now, Sean, in your career here, which has been 6 years now, what do you look back as the highlight moment of being on this station?
The highlight? got so many of them. I don't know. That's a toughie. Probably, definitely keeping everything on the air, everything going.
You worked with Marge Hazlett a lot.
Yes, she was a very interesting character.
Tell the story about the time that you had to put Marge's wig back on her head when it fell off during a live program. Marge would love this story. It's a good story. Go ahead.
Well, I can't remember.
I want to say this. God bless Marge. She's no longer with us. But Marge made fun of her wig all the time. It's not like I'm treading in areas here that nobody knew about. She used to talk about her wig all the time. Oh, so go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. She had more than one wig, too. But her one favorite wig, she was laughing so hard. I can't remember what the topic was about, but somehow it fell off with her headset. And here I am. She started talking about one of her stories about her tractor or something. And I'm sitting there trying to get her wig back on, and she hit her head on the table. It was this crazy day, but
it was an exchange club.
Yes,
it was you and Marge and Charlie and me.
Yeah.
And Charlie had said something, and we started laughing. Marge laughed, but when she bent over, she hit her head on the table and knocked her wig and her headset off. Yeah. And you're trying to adjust it back on her head to look. Didn't look right.
No, it's very hard. I don't know if there's a lot of females in here, but getting that wig straightened up and perfectly, it's not very easy.
Now, when you put your wig on, Abby, is it very difficult in the morning when you put that thing on to get it correct, looking like it is now?
I've got it figured out now.
You have it figured out now? Abby's our new panelist on the Exchange Club every Friday. She was here. You listened last Friday. What'd you make of that show?
It was a very good show. I think it definitely brings live entertainment.
Well, why not? That's all we need.
That's right.
You know what? What we're going to do, because a lot of people in this room do remember and know Marge, is very quickly here, we're going to pay tribute and remember Marge Hazlett, who was with us, I believe, for 3 years. She started here. Why? She was my college professor. I met Marge 20 years ago when I was in, 10 years ago when I was in college. I knew Marge for quite a while. And Marge was my psychology professor in college. And then when the station started, she was getting ready to retire as psychology professor. And she came here and she did her retirement interview. She invited me to her retirement party. And then 3 months later, she had her own show. And she was on Exchange Club and did her own show, Talk of the Town, for 3+ years on this station. And sadly, Marge left us, passed away in February of this year at the age of 85. But let's remember the legendary, our friend, Marge Hazlett. Listen to the legendary career that she had here at this station.
I realized we had more, probably, and nicer homes, a nicer home than most kids, but we didn't flaunt it. My dad said, you're lucky to have a nice home and a nice roof over your head, and be thankful for that. But we always worked, every one of us. My kid sister, my older sister, and then me, the middle one. And I didn't go around and complain. I mean, I wore hand-me-downs, hand-me-ups, because I was tiny all my life. You know, when people say, oh, you're so thin, I've been thin all my life. As I told the doctor one day, I get so tired of hearing it, I heard it from the day I made my first cry, that I had to work if I wanted what I wanted out of life. And I just did it because I enjoy work. I love to work. I would love to have a job right now, a big job, where I could put my feet and my teeth into it and say, I still can work, and I know I can. When they would say, can you stay over? Can you stay over? I said, you don't have to ask me, you know I will do it, because I love what I do. I love the patients. I used to take them by fingernail polish, because they love to have their nails done. And so I did that a lot. I don't know. I had fun. I loved my job. I didn't care what I did. I have one person say, well, I'm not going to clean a bedpan. Well, how is a bedpan going to get cleaned if you don't clean it? And I don't know. I think that we all need a purpose in life. And my purpose, I think, is like the minister was saying today. You know, I love to give service to people. I love to help people. And I'll never probably ever get over that. I really love to work with the patients. I love teaching the students and helping them help the patient. And I've never been sorry, never in a minute in my life. I love everything I've done. I really have. And people think that it's just sick. Well, it isn't. That's the way I am. I'd give my shirt off my back. You know, if I really knew the person needed it worse than I.
the legendary Marge Hazlett, who was with us for 3 years. Sean, Marge was quite a woman, was she not? Loved her quite a bit.
Yes, you never know what Marge is going to say. Even, you know, Nan Weir. I used to host her show a lot. And we had some very interesting conversations.
Now, at one point, Nan, who I believe was 88 years old, Nan's still around.
Yes, she is. She's actually 90.
Yeah, 90. And at one point, I was in the studio after one of those shows with you and Nan and Marge, and for some reason, you kissed Nan on the lips.
Thanks for everybody.
I know, I'm just saying I was there for that. I'm still traumatized to this day from that event.
Yeah, she kissed me on the lips.
It was something to see.
That it was.
It was. I don't know what was going on there.
A moment of love.
Yeah,
it was a moment of love. But no, you know what I remember about Marge was, Marge always came in, and she was battling cancer for 10 years, and it was no secret, and she talked about it on the air. Marge always showed up. She would come from chemotherapy appointments to do her show. Marge was a trooper. Loved Marge Hazlett. Now, you knew Marge, Abby, right?
I did, yes. I worked with Marge on the Wild Child Committee through professional.
What is that?
It was a committee. We put a conference on every year for education professions. Actually, all different kinds of professions can come, but they get credit hours, and we worked on that. I was on that committee for probably 3 or 4 years, and I worked with her on that. She was always a lot of fun.
Fun woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Fun woman.
She
put so much into the community. She was a professor at OSU for over 50 years. Her husband was a founder there. She did the radio show here. She taught in Marion City Schools. She taught at Mark Street School. She had worked for the hospital. You know, whatever needed to be done, Marge would do. And you could ask Marge to do anything, and she would do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Marge was just one of the best. And I can still hear her laugh on some things, you know, that'll play in the repeats, and you hear her laughter in the background. She was quite a woman. Nate, did you ever meet Marge?
Never got a chance to meet her, but always felt like I knew her just from listening to the radio.
Listening to her show. And you did. Yeah. That was Marge.
Yeah.
You know, there was no different. Jeff, you knew Marge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have any fond memories of Marge? Her cat liked to listen to you. I do know that. Callie the cat liked to listen to you, right?
She used to always listen in the mornings to me. And her cat, Callie, would always, according to her, would always curl up right by the radio and would always listen to me. And when I would take vacation, Terry Cole would fill in for me. She said, Callie didn't like Terry at all. So whenever Terry was on the air, the cat would go over and would kind of look at the radio a little bit, a couple seconds, and then just walk away. Would never listen when Terry was on. But when I was on, according to her, the cat really liked listening.
A lot of people did that when Terry were on. Well, there used to be all kinds of notes that would come in. No, I like Terry Cole. He was a good guy. I liked him. Terry's a fun man, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times.
Nice guy. Good man. All right. This is the anniversary. We're already halfway done. Can you believe that? Time's flying by. Supported by Domino's Pizza, 7-4.
We started slow, but
we're amping up now.
We are.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
Party's starting.
We're going to get the sugar and the food in people. It's going to happen. Mary Ellen Withrow's here. Abby, Nate, Mike, Sean, Jeff. And who am I forgetting out
Terry.
There? Terry. Is he here?
No.
Well, then why are we mentioning him?
So, Terry.
Glenn should be here within moments. And we've got a big tribute to the legendary Charlie Evers coming up in this next hour. So stay tuned. Everybody's sticking around a whole nother hour. Don't you dare go anywhere.
The most important thing in life is your family. And we have two children. And my goodness, I'm being overwhelmed by my two grandchildren now. But the main thing is your family.